Proverbs chapter 3, getting wisdom for our lives. And tonight, just two verses in our Bibles together. And I think that they can be life-changing, and they have been life-changing to many that have read them and believe them. And we pray for faith to believe them tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Here again is another conditional promise of the Lord. If you remember when we were together last time in this text, we looked at verse 1 and we saw that if we would keep the commandments of the Lord, verse 2, it would add to us length of days and long life and peace. We found in verse 5 and 6 and 7 that if we would trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, that He promised to direct our paths. He's not going to direct our paths if we do not do that. If we'll fear the Lord, verse 7, and depart from evil, He says in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Of course, we thought about the fact that the bones, that's the place where our blood comes from. That's the place where the marrow and the bones, where the blood comes from, are, and we get our Adamic nature from the blood of our parents, all the way back to Adam. That's where the blood comes from, the marrow. And what he's trying to say is there's something really wrong all the way down the bone in our lives. And we really need God's health. We need God's strength. He said it'll be strength to thy navel. You know, when you think about your navel, that's where that's your belly button. That's where you know, you were attached to your mother. And again, speaking of your birth. And that just means all of us from birth, all of us that have an Adamic nature, we just need the help of God. And we need God's strength from the time we're born into this world to the time we leave this world. We need His health. Now, he said there in verse 8, he's talking about spiritual and physical health. And then he goes on into health financially or health materialistically. He said in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Of course, new wine, the Bible says new wine is found in the cluster of the grape. That's that pure grape juice. And that was, of course, a mark of wealth and prosperity. Someone that had a vineyard, and the kings had vineyards, and they produced those grapes and had that juice, and that was a very big delicacy there. And so he says, I'll just bless you with all these materialistic blessings, and your barns will be filled with plenty. You think about how that goes together. You know, if your barns were filled with plenty, if you had all that you wanted financially, but you didn't have the health to enjoy it, what's it going to do you? And so he puts all this together. God is able to give you physical health, and God is able to give you financial health. It's like he's just able to be and do everything that you need in your life. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel. This is not, you know, all your problems are going to go away if you love the Lord, because all of us have burdens. We all have a cross to bear if we're following Jesus Christ. We're supposed to bear a cross. We're supposed to deny ourselves. It's not just saying, you know, pie in the sky and we've got all these good things and every heartache comes. That's not the Christian life. But there is something in the Bible about honoring God and God taking care of you. That is a principle in the Bible. It's been a principle through all of the Word of God and the example of people. How people have honored God in their lives, and then God has blessed them and taken care of them. And that was not just good for them, the characters in the Old Testament or the New Testament. That's good for you. These proverbs, these wise sayings are good for our lives. And so the first thing he says, and again, this is going to be a conditional promise. You know, everybody wants verse 10. Everybody wants full barns. Now, today we don't really talk like that unless you're farmers. But the truth is that in days gone past, nobody had refrigerators and freezers. But they did have barns. They did have storage. They didn't have vacuum pack bags and canning systems and all that. But they had barns whereby to put up things that would get them through the winter or get them through life. And they would harvest those things. They'd dry them. They'd hang them up. They'd put them in there. They'd keep them. And it was provision for them. Well, God is saying, look, you're not going to have provision in your life if you don't first honor me. Now look at the text. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now think about that. There's a lot of different ways you can honor God, okay? How can we honor God? Well, we can honor God by living a right life. You know what's very dishonoring to God? Is for people that name the name of Christ to live like children of the devil. That's very dishonoring to God. That's shameful. And the Bible tells us, you know, that we're to sanctify ourselves, that we would know how to possess our vessel unto honor. Our vessel, that's our body. In other words, ought to live an honorable life. Ought to be an honorable man before God. And the way I live my life either honors God or it dishonors God. Well, that's one way you can honor God. How else can you honor God? Over and over in the Bible, you'll find people honoring God by their praise, by the lips of their praise, the angels and the heavenly hosts and all that. You read Revelation, they're gathering, they're saying blessing and glory and honor. They're honoring God with their adoration and their praise. And that's honoring to the Lord to say, hey, I want to testify and give praise to God. That's honoring to Him. That's putting Him in His proper place. Well, you can honor Him another way. You know, you can honor God by honoring the people that God tells you to honor. In other words, when you honor your father and mother, as the Bible tells you to do, you know what you're also doing? You're honoring God. Because that's what He asked you to do. There's so many ways to bring honor to the Lord. But this verse gives a specific one. Not just with my life, not just with my lips, but look at it. Honor the Lord with thy what? Substance. Now God has given all of us different things. He's given us different abilities. He's given us different materialistic things. But one thing we ought to all do, whether it's great or whether it's small, if my substance is big, if my substance is small, my substance, that's what I have. But with whatever I have, I ought to honor God with it. Now, how do I honor God with it? Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The principle here is giving. In the Old Testament, the law told them to take those first fruits and give them as an offering unto God. They would wave them many times. They'd wave that sheep of the first fruits to God as praise and a gift to Him, and whatever they got, they would give the first that they had to the Lord, and that's the way they honored the Lord. You know, when the Bible tells us in the epistles, in 1 Timothy 5, it talks about give honor, unto Him, double honor to those that labor in the word and the doctrine. That's not just talking about with lips. It's talking about taking care of someone that's laboring, honoring them with what you are giving them. In other words, when I honor the Lord with my substance, that's what I'm giving to my God. Now, you say, well, I don't have a lot of substance. Well, you can give the substance that you have. You remember when God said to Moses, go lead the children of Israel out, and he says, how can I go? What do I have? And he said, what's in your hand? Well, it's just a rod. That's all I got, it's a rod. God says, I'll use that. I'll take that. Will you give that to me? Well, it's just a rod. Well, give it to me. Throw it on the ground. Will you give it to me? Or are you going to hold on to it and keep it for yourself? Or are you going to throw it? Are you going to give it? Throw it on the ground. What did he do when he threw it on the ground? Yeah, it became a snake. You know, when you give something to God, he can do more with it than you think he can do with it. You know, God, what are you going to do with this stick? God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this stick. When you go down to Egypt, you are going to shock the world with that stick. Just give me what you have. Give me your substance. And whatever that is, I can use it and I can do more with it, but you need to honor me. Look, the little boy that has, the little lad that has the lunch, that's not a lot of substance, is it? It's very small. But what did he do with it? Didn't he honor the Lord with that lunch? He gave the Lord those few loaves, those few little fishes. He gave that to God, though it was small. He honored God. He put God before himself. He put Jesus before himself. And because he honored him, wow. Wonder how many barns all that food would have filled up. He honored the Lord with his substance. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, would you look there? He's talking about honoring God now. You mean, preacher, by my giving, I'm either honoring or dishonoring God? Yes, that's what this text says. Now, it's not a have-to attitude. Well, I guess I have to honor God with my substance. Well, that's no good. Because God only loves a cheerful giver, right? It's not, you think about, you know, if Bill Gates or Warren Buffett were in here tonight, and I came up and I said, well, you know, we got these two distinguished men over here. They're visiting our church. I got Bill Gates here and Warren Buffett, and let's take up an offering for them tonight. I wonder how many people would give to that offering. You know, my first response would be saying, take up an offering from them, right? Why would we say that? They got more money than we could ever see in 10 lifetimes, right? Billions and billions of dollars. Preacher, take up an offering for those guys? You know what? God has got so much more than those guys, two guys put together, and a million more that would have the same put together. Do you understand the seemingly ludicrousness of giving an offering to God? It's not like he needs anything. It's not like he's poor. It's not like he's needy. It's not like he said, man, I just don't know how to get these missionaries to the field. I hope they'll give next week. It's not like God said, man, I don't know how the lights will keep... We'll stay on at the church and they'll keep praying to preach. I hope they'll give next week. It's not like God's doing that. Well, then why do we give to God? It has nothing to do with what he needs. It has to do with me giving him honor. Honoring him with my substance. Lord, you deserve this more than I do. 1 Samuel. I said 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know, some people only give when they see, you know, a poverty need or something like that. Well, you'll never see a poverty need with God. But I would submit to you the greatest person or thing that you would ever need to give to in your whole life is God Almighty. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Why? This verse is why. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, he's talking to Eli here, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me, watch this, church, for them that honor me, I will what? I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, what did Eli do? Look at the previous verse. Wherefore, kick ye at my... What's it say? Sacrifice and at my what? Offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. Look at your Bible. And what's that say? Honorest thy what? Thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. In other words, instead of these offerings being given to God, Eli was letting these offerings be given to his children. In a wrong, inappropriate way. And Eli honored his sons more than he loved, more than he honored God. You know what God did to him? God said, well, I'm going to quit honoring you. So the priesthood is going to cease from your family. You're finished. He says, whoever honors me, I'll honor them. I said the other day we were preaching in John where Jesus said he honored his father, and it also said that his father honored him. Why did God the Father honor God the Son? Because the Son honored the Father and the Father honored him back. Look, do you want God to honor you? Well, then you've got to honor God. And if we're saying we're honoring God and we're not honoring with him with our substance, which the Bible says where our treasure is, there's our heart, then we're deceiving ourselves into where our heart really is. And really, if we had the attitude of 1 Corinthians 4:7, where he says, you know, what do you have that you didn't receive? And he said, if you received it, what are you glorious if you didn't receive it? In other words, God tells the Corinthians, because you know, Corinthians, they have a lot of money. They're a rich church financially. But they're not giving. The poor church is the one that's doing the giving. I tell you what, I still see that a lot. When I look at some of these smaller churches, that the way they sacrifice to missions, it blows us to shame. I'm not kidding you. I mean, some really sacrificing. I think of one church, right, little church in Texas right now, they got about 25 people. They give more than $200,000 a year to missions. You know why that is? Some of them have dedicated a whole second job to give their money to missions. You say, why are they doing that? Just to honor God? I mean, what do? We work for what? We work for our own family, our own bills. That's logical. That's reasonable. That's even moral. That's even biblical. But what about honoring God more than you'd honor your own family? Honor the Lord with thy substance. How much do we honor him? And with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits. You know, when I think of first fruits, I think of the cream of the crop. The best part, you know. The cream that rises to the top, you know, that's, y'all know what I'm talking about. That cream's on the top. It's the first thing that's going to hit your palate, right? The dregs are down in the bottom. You know what God's saying? Give me the cream. Give me the top. Give me the first. Quit waiting till you drink the cup and see what's left over and then you try to give to me. That's not the first fruits. That is, okay, I'm going to take the first fruits for me, and if there's enough, then I'll see, then I'm going to get around to God. God says, that's not real honoring to me. What did the prophet tell that widow woman that took care of him? He said, go make me a cake, what? I tell you what, that sounds really arrogant. This woman and this kid's going to die, and here the prophet says, make me one first. That doesn't even sound reasonable in a gentleman's society. What man would say, make me something before the woman and the child gets to be fed? Well, what was the principle? The principle is you give God something first and then watch him take care of you. You know what happened with that woman? Her barns got full up. You know why? Because she honored the Lord with her first fruits. She didn't, not with the leftovers. Guys, I'm telling you what. You're going to struggle for the rest of your life if you keep giving God the leftovers. Don't budget God in or put him at the end after you've had sufficiency. Now, I know that's reasonable and I know that's worldly thinking, but that attitude does not honor God. It's, Lord, you're first. If I have to go without eating, I'll go without eating. If I have to turn my lights off or my TV bill off, oh, that would be a shame. Or my cell phone. The first bill, the first priority, we're going to give God. We're going to honor God with the first fruits. Isn't that what we do with our tithe? Our tithing, we give God the first 10%. We don't give God at the end after all the bills are paid and then we give him whatever we can figure out. That's not the way it works. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know what the Bible says about first fruits? In 1 Corinthians 15:23, just think about this. It says Christ the first fruits. You know who the first fruits are? It's Jesus. Jesus is the best. He's the first. He's the first begotten of the dead. In other words, he's the first one coming up out of that grave to live forever. That's the context of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ the first fruits. Let me ask you a question. If our first fruits of our lives really belong to Jesus Christ, what do we do with the first part of everything that we have? Do we really recognize Christ as the first fruits? And I think this is even more than money. You know what? Young people, you ought to give the first and the best years of your life to God. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm glad that when I had a better mind than I have right now, it was given to God. I'm glad that when I had a better body, I was stronger. If I tried to go do some of the things, amen, that I did for God in my 20s and in my 30s, it probably wouldn't work too swell. Because things just go downward the older you get. Give God the first fruits, not just of your money, but of your life, of your time, of everything else. It's honoring to God. And when we don't, we're honoring ourselves or our family or whatever instead of honoring Him. And we'll be the loser because there's a promise connected with honoring God. Remember, you can take this to the bank. If you'll honor God, He will honor you. He will. We could have a lot of testimonies about that. Now, this is what the lost man says, or the person that has no faith. They say this, well, if I give God the first part, well, then I've got less to work with. I've got less than I had before. You see, that's a faithless view of God. A faithful view of God is, hey, if I'll give God the first fruits, I'm going to have more to work with after giving God and honoring God with what He deserves. Let me show you that. Look at Proverbs chapter, get Proverbs chapter 11 right quick. You can go a lot farther with whatever's left after you give God than you could if you kept every dime of it. Because it's the principle of God's blessing. Proverbs 11 verse 24, watch this. Proverbs 11, 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. In other words, this guy's scattering out, he's giving things away, and yet he's increasing. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Here's a guy withholding things, he's holding on to things, and yet the more he holds on to it, the poorer he gets. Look at the next verse. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now that ain't talking about politics. Liberal politics are out of hell. Liberality, he's talking about our giving spirit. He says we ought to give liberally, you see. Giving liberally, it's giving with both hands. It's giving out of a big heart. It's giving a lot. And he says the liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, the guy that's giving, it's going to come right back to him. Look at several verses on that. Luke chapter 6, grab that. And get 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And with one more hand, how about Malachi 3? So we got Luke chapter 6. This is a principle all through the Bible. It's not just in the book of Proverbs. And it goes against the natural mind. Well, if I'll have less to work with. No, you won't. Because God's bigger than your paycheck. And God's the one that controls all that anyway. Not just the money, but your health and everything else. I've told the testimony here. Hey man, we were in Romania all those years. Those kids didn't go to the doctor. In Romania, we didn't go get antibiotics. In Romania, we didn't take our kids to the doctor there. We're afraid to. They're crazy doctors. And whenever they got sick, you know what we'd do? Well, we'd pray and we'd give them this, that, and the other thing. I don't know if it was, you say, well, let me have those, all those concoctions. Maybe it was just God that made them well. and they wouldn't get sick as much. I'm just saying God can make things go a lot farther if you'll honor him. And the world thinks that's stupid and crazy and all, but they don't know God, so. Amen. Luke 6:38. Now Jesus said this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. And what does that say? Running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Same principle. You honor God, God's going to pour it back on you more than you poured to him. Honor the Lord, he'll fill up your barns. That's what he said. He'll just shake it and he'll press it down and make more room. It's like David saying, my cup runneth over. You know what? Most people's cups empty. And with all the budgets and all the plans, it's empty. And God says, well, I'd like to fill that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll just read it again. 2 Corinthians 9:6. And 2 Corinthians, of course, with the context of this, those deeply poor churches of Macedonia, chapter 8, that were giving to missions, and the Corinthians weren't giving anything, though they had a lot more money. You know, you can have a lot of money and have more bills than everybody else, too. You can make 10 times what everybody else makes. Hey, you know what? Making more money is not all the answer. I know a lot of people make a lot of money and they can't tread water. You say, well, it's cutting your expenses. Well, that's smart, but that's not the whole thing. You know what I think the whole thing is? Put God first. Amen. I think that's really the basic principle of everything in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know why? Because I don't just read these verses. I really believe them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, he's talking about giving, shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Why? Because you're giving. Look at verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to fill up your barns. I will. Now this is not a health and wealth gospel. This is just reading the Bible. You honor God, he'll take care of you. That doesn't mean you get the latest iPhone. But you can't eat iPhones when you get hungry. Amen. iPhones can't make you well when you get sick. Yeah, they can. They can make you sick. So here's not just once, but twice. Now the other one, Malachi chapter 3. He says it over and over in both Testaments. He's a preacher. Our church, most of all of our people tithe and give. It's not about that. I'm not sure to think everybody does, but I mean most of our people do. Where we need to work on is that faith promise, because I think that ought to be more than your tithe. That's a whole lot more than my tithe. I better read this verse. Malachi chapter 3. He says, you know, where have you robbed me? Verse 9, God says you robbed me in tithes and offerings. But look at verse 10. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's full barns. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to make your substance grow, and I'm going to provide for you because you put me first. And he tells us, every one of us, to lay in, buy us in store, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, on the first day of the week, bring it into the church house. By the way, that's why we don't even take up offerings on Wednesday night. We do on the first day of the week. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31, real quick. Run out of time here. 2 Chronicles 31. And while you're turning, I'll just give you another verse. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. He says, you know, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? Now, you can apply that same principle with life. If you work really hard, guys, if you work really hard and plow a field and plant crops and stuff, if you work really hard and God blesses it with rain and sunshine and the like, you'll have a crop. You'll reap what you've sown, right? So I think there is a principle about working and getting that's true. But here's the great principle. The principle is, do all you can for God and then watch Him bless that when you honor Him. And then you'll reap so much more than what you've sown. The principle of sowing and reaping, the principle of honoring God and Him honoring you is just a principle in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. I've had husbands and wives in my pastorate years and years ago that fought each other, said, we can't afford to tithe. We can't afford to give to God. We can't afford to give to missions. And then little by little, their faith grew and they saw, you know, things get a lot better when we put God first. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. 2 Chronicles 31, watch this, verse 5. He says, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance. You see that? Abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, of all the increase of the field. See, they're honoring him. Bring it to the church house. And the tithe of all things they brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, not just crops, they're bringing them animals. And the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord, watch this, their God, and laid them by heaps. They just start heaping all this stuff up, giving it to God. Verse 7, in the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel, because all they just give them so much, it's just heaped up, man. Verse 9, then Hezekiah questioned the priests and Levites concerning the heaps. Man, what's all this heaps? And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, watch this. Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had, what does that say? You see that? As soon as they started bringing these offerings to God, we've had enough to eat, look at it, and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. You know what happened? Their barns got full. Because they put God first. And let me ask you a question. Can you trust God with your finances? Now you think about this just a minute. If you can't trust God in your finances, but you trusted him with your soul, how does that make sense? Because your soul is a lot more valuable and precious than your finances. If you can't trust him with your finances, you sure can't trust him with your soul. But a lot of people have a hard time with that. Because their soul is something that they don't touch, they don't see. But that other. And God is giving this principle, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. I can give you a full life, I can give you full barns. By the way, those full barns, that's also, so shall thy barns be full. That's a great verse about saving instead of spending. You know why some people's barns are never full? Because they spend everything they get. You know what God says? I'm going to bless you. Watch this now. God says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to fill up your barn. You know, that doesn't mean when all the crop came in, they had a party and just fed everybody in the community. They took all this blessing of God and they stuck it in the barn. That's called saving. Oh, wow, that's what it is. They didn't say, wow, we got more food than we ever had. Let's just eat till we're sick. No, put it in the barn, honey. Let's just call everybody in the community and have a big party. No, we're putting this in the barn. Because God gave us this. God has blessed us with this. And he's going to let us use this blessing to provide for our needs in so many days to come. And man, with a full barn, if God ever wanted to, we could even give him more offerings. You see that? You know why some people can't give to God? Because they never put anything in the barn. They don't have nothing to give. Even the animals save. That's in chapter 6. We'll get there later. Go to the ant, you know. He provides his meat in the summer for later on. I don't think you ought to. There's somebody else's barn that was full. Go to Luke chapter 12, and I got to finish. And I'll give you these references. Empty and broken down barns sometimes can be an indication of God's judgment. Why are some people's barns empty and broken down? Sometimes because God's judged them and they've not honored them. That's Joel chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, Haggai chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. Full barns are not always an indication of God's blessing, though. Luke chapter 12. The Bible said in verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, because his barns were full. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou what? Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You can't have full barns and be a fool. But at the end of the day, it's all going to be empty. And you're not even going to get to enjoy it. This guy died before he can enjoy anything in the barn. What a fool. This guy was saving everything he could for himself. No. A full barn is for the Lord. Amen. A full barn is something that God can use for his glory. And look, if you have any other questions about that, look at verse, in the same chapter, verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor what? Nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? God says, if you don't even have a barn, I can still take care of you. Somebody said, well, if I don't even have a barn to fill up. God couldn't even fill up my barn. I don't have one. God said, well, these fowls, they don't have a barn either. And they can't even go to work. All they can do is fly around. He says, I'll feed them. I'll take care of them. And he says, I can take care of you. But we need to learn to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out. I believe it. And I've experienced it. And it can be true in your life.